It is good to have you this morning. I thought I was going to sit down and preach today, but I feel the preach in me this morning. You hear what I'm saying? I wasn't able to be here last week. By the way, didn't Nolan do a great job last week? All right. All right. Somebody said, let him preach more often. Okay. We'll let that happen. Okay. But I'm just so thankful for that opportunity. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to continue our study called Rewind, a study of the book of Acts. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you have your Bible, be it paper, electronic, whatever the case may be, please begin to look for Acts chapter 9. And today we're going to read verses 10 through 19, which is basically the conclusion of that chapter that we started 2 weeks ago. So just in a few minutes, Grant's going to come. Grant will just come on up, grab the mic. He's going to read the text for us. We thought we would get Grant involved in the equation. Well, he's here for one more week before going back to school at DePaul in Chicago. Okay, that's going to be awesome to send him away again next week. It's been a busy summer for him. This guy's worked two jobs all summer. You don't want to be my son, by the way, okay? We got to get after it. We got to work. So he's been working a couple jobs all summer just to be able to make ends meet. But before he reads Acts chapter 9, the verses 10 through 19, we need to remember what happened at the beginning of Acts chapter 9, the first nine verses. And that is, in those verses, we read of this radical conversion of a guy named Saul who would later become Paul. Remember, a radical conversion where Jesus reveals himself to him on the road to Damascus. And here's one little thing I want you to remember before Grant reads the text. It's very important that you remember this, and that is that before Paul's conversion, he was a man who hated Christians. I want to make sure that you get that in your mind. Before Paul's conversion, when he was Saul, he hated, despised Christians. And we read in the very, very first verse of chapter 9, we read that he was uttering threats with every breath, and he was eager to kill the Lord's followers. You say, why did Paul want to kill the Lord's followers? Because he believed that what they were teaching was heresy. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave 3 days later, and he thought it was heresy. So Saul is thinking, I'm going to do God a favor, and I'm going to wipe out these Christians before they get any momentum. So I just want you to remember, Saul hated. Everybody just say that. Well, we shouldn't say that word in church, okay? Let's say he despised. He's despised. He didn't like Christians at all. So could you imagine with me that Christians really didn't want anything to do with this guy? They didn't want anything to do. They feared him. I mean, wouldn't you fear a guy that wanted to kill you because of your faith in Christ? Think about that. Some of us have friends that when they find out we're Christians, they may say some things that hurt us, exclude us. But if you're going to hang out with Paul, the threat was that, hey, this is a guy that could kill you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But little did they know up to this point as we read these verses, little did they know that he had an encounter with Jesus that was going to change everything. By the way, it was an encounter with Jesus that changed the biggest thing, and that is his heart. I want to speak to you real quickly, and that is that how many people know the primary thing God wants to change in your life is your heart? Just think about that. The primary thing is not your behavior. The primary thing is not your words. That will come later. How many people know the biggest thing God's after is your heart? Because when God gets your heart, all those other things will follow. They'll follow. So God is after his heart, and that's what happened. So Grant, if you'll read, why don't we stand together just to change position here for a minute as we honor and read the Word of God, Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19.
Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength.
Let's pray one more time. Father, open the word to our hearts, to our eyes. Be in these moments together as we glean from your word challenges that are relevant to where we are today in the year 2018. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, in these verses that Grant just read this morning, we're introduced to a man, and I've read this passage several times in the last couple weeks. And I really have grown to admire this guy whose name is Ananias. He's actually become one of my heroes. And I'm going to explain why he's become one of my heroes as I've been reading this text several times, getting it into my spirit. But before we do this, I need to set the table, okay? So we're going to just revisit the text quickly. Look at verse 10 if you still have your Bibles open. I want you to see this because something in 10 changes everything. Something in verse 10 changes everything. And it says, now there was a believer named Ananias. So what happens here in verse 10 is the Lord speaks to Ananias, okay? Think about that. God, the creator of heaven and earth, comes and he speaks to a person. And he speaks to Ananias and he says, hey, I want you to go and I want you to pay Paul a visit. And when you get to there, I want you to lay hands on him so that he can see, his sight can be recovered. Because you need to remember in the first 9 verses, when he had an encounter with Jesus, he went blind for 3 days. He went blind for 3 days. And now God is speaking directly to this guy named Ananias. And he say, hey, you're going to be the cure. You're going to be how this thing is carried on. And you're going to go and you're going to lay hands on him. And what's going to happen when you lay hands on him, his sight is going to be recovered, okay? So let me ask you a question. And this is a question where I don't want you to respond visually or verbally. I just want you to really begin to process my question. Is everybody ready to go? Say, I'm ready. Everybody say, I'm ready. Here's my question to you. And I don't want you to give me the church answer. I want you to think about, what do I really believe? What do I really believe? Here's my question. Does God still speak to people today? Think about that. I don't want you to respond out loud, but I want you to think, what is your opinion? Does God still speak to people in the year 2018? Does he still speak to people today? Okay? And I want you to process. So process. Everybody process. What do you believe? What's your opinion about that? I want to let you know that I believe that God still speaks to people today. Amen? And I really think there's 3 primary ways that God speaks. Well, there's one very primary way. Is how many people know every time we take the time to open up the Bible and read Scripture, how many people know that's one of the primary ways that God speaks to us? Yes? Yes? For example, there's several people in our congregation that are reading the one-year Bible. And just this last week, one of our readings was the book of Nehemiah. And as I'm reading the book of Nehemiah, I'm learning that this guy named Nehemiah was an amazing, amazing leader. By the way, if you're in a position of leadership, I would suggest you read the book of Nehemiah. It's a short book. It won't take you long. But as I'm reading the book of Nehemiah, I'm thinking, wow, this guy had conviction. This guy heard from the Lord. This guy didn't care what everybody else thought. His agenda was God's agenda, or God's agenda was his agenda. So as I'm reading through Nehemiah these last couple days, God begins to speak to me about some things, issues of leadership. So yes, every time you pick up the Bible, how many people know that God speaks to us through his word? That's why we're encouraging you all the time. As believers, pick up the Bible. God wants to speak to you. Right where you're at today, God wants to speak to you. So that's one of the ways God speaks to you. Another way that God speaks to you is through other people. Through other people. By the way, these are people that are speaking according to the word of God. They're not speaking their own agenda. They're speaking God's agenda. They're coming up and say, hey, God's laid on my heart. You really need to forgive so-and-so. So God speaks to us through other people. He also speaks through what I call the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit. What these are impressions of the heart, where God just continually lays something on your heart. The Holy Spirit's continually laying something on your heart. He's continually putting something in your mind. And this is what I want you to hear from me very carefully this morning. This should never contradict the word of God. Amen? It should never contradict the word. If you feel like you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, but it's opposing the word of God, I want to suggest that you change your diet. Okay, because there's something wrong that's keeping you up and you're hearing wrong messages, okay? So, yes, the Holy Spirit speaks. Yes, the people speak to us, but it always needs to line up with the Word of God. There can't be contradictions because I think that's one of the primary ways that God speaks. So this is what I want to say to you today, and please hear my heart. I believe that God speaks to people in 2018. Amen? I believe that God wants to speak to you. I really do. I really believe there's situations that you're going through that God wants to speak to you. But here's the thing, and I want you to hear this. Here's the thing. When God speaks to you, it's often going to be scary. Okay? Are you ready for that? When God speaks, it's going to be very scary. And the reason why it's going to be scary, and I want everyone to hear this, the reason why it's going to be scary, because most of the time, it's going to pull you out of your comfort zone. I want to let you know we have all developed a comfort zone through the years. I think especially as we get older, we get limited. We live in this comfort zone. And here's what I think God wants to do sometime when he speaks to us. Nolan, if you can stand up, just a quick object lesson. Nolan has a comfort zone. Does everyone know that? Do you have a comfort zone, by the way, everybody said? Yes. Nolan has a comfort zone, and oftentimes when God speaks to us, what he wants to do is he wants to try to resist. He wants to pull us out of our comfort zone. And what do? We do exactly what Nolan's doing right now. We want to resist. We don't want to leave. It's comfortable there. I've been there all my life. Somebody needs to hear this today. You've been there all your life in your comfort zone, and God speaks to you, and it's difficult because he wants to pull you out into a new place. He wants to pull. Thanks, Nolan. We didn't talk about that before service. We should have, okay? But here's the deal. God wants to speak to you. And when he does, it's going to be scary. Because you have become so comfortable in who you are. Your traditions, your history. We're stuck. We're getting in these comfort zones. And he's going to take us to a new place. And that's exactly what we see in our text. And that is God's telling Ananias, hey, I want you to go and I want you to go lay hands on a guy who's a murderer, Saul. And that's why his response is very common or very predictable. Let's look at his response in verse 13. Everybody say these two words together. But Lord. But Lord, that's Ananias. When God says, go visit Saul, this is his first response, but Lord. Then he continues by saying, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. How many people would agree that Ananias had every reason to be afraid? He had every reason to be scared. I mean, in his mind, in his heart, his reasoning was, if I go to Saul, I'm lining myself up, putting myself in a position to literally be killed. I mean, that was the extreme. We read it in a comfortable church in 2018. We say, Ananias, just go. It's no big deal. Just go. But you got to put yourself in his shoes. He's thinking, if I go, God, if I do this thing you called me to do, you're calling me out of comfort and you're calling me to a place where I may lose my life. I may lose my life. So he had every reason. But if you know the rest of the passage, what does Ananias do? He obeys God, and God uses this guy named Saul to become Paul, who writes over 2/3 of the New Testament, who goes on missionary journeys, who basically plants churches all over. We're here today as a result of this encounter. So I want you to hear this today. So Here's my question to you, and I want everyone to be engaged. There's no opportunity for you this morning to make a grocery list. So I'm going to look the aisle, make sure nobody's writing out their grocery list. Okay, we're good. I want you to engage in this message this morning. Here's my question for you this morning. Is everybody ready for the question this morning? Say, give it to me. Give it to me. Here's my question. Is there something God's calling you to do? And you think to yourself, oh my word, that's scary. Is there something that God today, maybe it's not here in this service today, but maybe it was days and weeks leading up to you being here. Is there something that God's calling you to do and it's scary? And you're just like Ananias, these are the words you're saying. But Lord, I don't know if I can do it. But Lord, is there something he's calling you to do? Let me list some examples of things that came to my mind, the things that God calls us to do. Is it possible that God's calling you to stand up for what's right in your workplace, in your school? And your first response is, but Lord, is there something God's calling you to do? Maybe you're ready to go back to school. It's a new school year. Maybe you're going back to work, whatever the situation. Maybe God's calling you to take a stand for Jesus, to take a stand in a way that you've never taken a stand before. Maybe he's calling you to be more verbal in your faith and let people know that I'm not a closet Christian, but I'm coming out and I'm going public with my faith. Is there something that God's calling you to do and your first response is fear? I'm scared. Your first response is, but Lord. Maybe you're here today and you know that God's calling you to tithe. To tithe, that's the will of God. We find God speaking to us directly in his word, to tithe, to give of our income to the Lord. And your first response is fear. I understand that. I've been there before. But God, but Lord, how can I possibly do this? I'm having a hard time living on 100%. Now you're going to call me to live on 90%. And God is saying, yes, trust me. And our first response is, but Lord, there's no way. There's no way that this is going to work out. But Lord, maybe God is calling you to have a difficult conversation with somebody you love a lot. And to show that you really love and that you really care for them, the Lord is saying you got to have this difficult conversation. It might be with a spouse. It might be with one of your children. It might be with a coworker. It might be with a friend. And your first response is, but Lord, I don't want to offend them. But Lord, and we come up with our laundry list of why we're not going to do it, but Lord. But if we really love them, we'll respond and say, I need to have a difficult conversation. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, this might be the one. Maybe it's to do something you know you should do, but to be honest, you just don't want to do it. There's something you just know that God wants you to do. It's clear in your mind. It's clear in your heart. Maybe it's a call to live pure. And you don't want to be that way. You don't want that, but you're saying, but Lord. But Lord. Let me give you two more real quick. Maybe Jesus has just been speaking to your heart recently, and I just sense this in some of the people in our church, that Jesus is calling you to surrender more to him. To take one more step closer in this season of your life. To take one more step and say, Jesus, I'm all in. To take one more step and say, Jesus, I trust you. Even when I don't see things, I trust you. Could it be that Jesus is calling you today? And I believe in this room, there's a lot of people. Jesus has been speaking to your heart. Come closer to me. Trust me. Give everything. Jump in the pool. Don't just put your feet in the water. Jump in. And you're saying what? Everybody together. But Lord, maybe you're here today and you have never said, I'm going to put my faith completely in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. And you're afraid. What will my spouse think? What will my friends think? What will my family think? What will other people think? And your response is what? But Lord, you've never really stopped and put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins so that you can have faith, that you can have peace with God. And our response is, but Lord. But here's my question today again. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? What's he calling you to do and you just are afraid? Maybe it's something you read in Scripture. Maybe it's something you've heard in a message. Maybe it's something that somebody approached you by. Maybe it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. I got to believe that God is working in his people, because God is continually working in his people. But many of us, we say, but Lord, and what happens is we're fearful. And our fearfulness keeps us in our comfort zone, and it restricts us, and it keeps us stuck. I want to let you know, God doesn't want you to be stuck. Amen? But God wants you to move forward. He wants to show you things about himself and do amazing things, but we get scared. So what I want to do as we conclude here this morning, because Nolan only spoke for 20 minutes last week, and everybody texted me and said, that was so awesome. I get the point. We're going to speak shorter sermons, okay? So are we at about 8 minutes so far? Everybody's like, yeah, right, that ain't happening. But here's what I want to do, is I want to give you some helpful thoughts when God speaks to you and you have this initial response of fear, or you're afraid, or you're scared. There's three thoughts I want to remind you of. First one is this, write it down. How many people know fear is normal? Let's everybody say that together. Fear is normal. Maybe that's why one of the top commands in Scripture is what? Does anybody want to take a guess? Fear. Wow, you guys are awesome, sharp. Fear not. Because many of us see fear as a bad thing. We see it as a red flag. We see it as an opportunity. I better turn back. This can't be right. Meaning that if it was really God's will, I wouldn't have fear. I wouldn't be scared. This can't be right, okay? But what if I told you that fear is actually a normal part of your journey of faith? If you're really serious about continuing your journey of faith, walk with Christ, there's going to be just these seasons where fear is just going to be common, okay? And it's not a bad sign. It's actually a sign that you're obeying many times. It's actually a sign that you're going to do something bold, that you're going to step forward, you're going to take new territory. It's actually a sign that, hey, I'm fearful because I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, and I don't like coming out of my comfort zone. And now I'm getting fearful because what will happen if God takes me one step out of my comfort zone? We get fearful and we think, I can't do this. But I want to let you know, many times the most impactful things that God does in our lives is when he takes us to a new place. And a lot of times I want to let you know that there's going to be fear. I would say about every time there's going to be fear, but I want to speak to you today and say this, fear is normal. Fear is normal. It's just a normal part of coming out of your comfort zone, obeying God, doing what God's called you to do. Fear is normal. So can we all say that one more time together? Because I want to make sure you heard me. Everybody together, fear is normal. Number two, this is so big, this is so cool. Number two is this. You don't have to feel courageous in order to act courageous. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to all repeat that together. You don't have to feel courageous in order to act courageous. I want us to change that and make it a personal pronoun. And I want us to say this by faith today with some conviction. Can we use the personal pronoun of I? Let's all repeat it. I don't have to feel courageous in order to act courageous. Here's the thought process usually. The thought process usually is, I'm going to act courageous when I feel it. I'm going to act that way. I'm going to do it when the feeling of courage comes upon me. Here's my question. What do you think is going to happen if you wait around for courageous feelings? I'll tell you what's going to happen if you're going to wait for courage or the feeling of courage. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, guys, because I'm a product of this. You're often going to do very, very, very little. Very little. You're going to do very, very little. You're not going to be able to take a stand in your high school or your college campus or your workplace if you're going to wait for the right feeling. You're not going to obey God many times if you're going to wait for the right feeling of courage. I'll do it when I feel courageous. No, that's not how it works. It's often you got to do what? You got to step out. Even when you're scared, even when you're fearful, you got to take a step out of your comfort zone, even when you're like, you're panic attacked. And you're thinking, wow, I can't do this. And it's not normal, because our comfort zone creates a normal for us. And we get stuck in normal. And I'm here today to tell you there's people that God, all of us, God wants to call us to a place that a new normal, a new place. He wants to use us, and we're going to have to step out. And that's what we've seen in Ananias. He didn't wait till he felt courageous to go visit Saul. No, he obeyed even when he was fearful of what may happen with his life, that he could possibly be killed. He acted in obedience. He acted in faith. He acted even when he was scared. Does everyone got that this morning? Because I guarantee you, if you're going to be used by God in greater ways, you can't wait until you feel this surge of adrenaline. Or you feel like Superman, okay? You got to step out. You got to step forward. And here's why you can do that. Number three is this, a helpful thought. Number three is simply this. It's not up to you to pull things off. It's not up to you. It's not up to you to pull things off. When God has called you to do something and it's scary and you're thinking, how can I possibly do this? And you're thinking, how can I do this? I want to let you know it's not your responsibility. You say, well, whose responsibility is it? I want to let you know the one who has called you is responsible. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? The one who's called you is responsible. It's not all on your shoulders. You know what's on your shoulders? It's probably that first step out of your comfort zone, that first step. And I believe that that's at the moment where God meets people, after that first step of obedience, so that first step of just acting even in fear, just stepping out. I believe that's where God meets us. And then he's the one who makes things happen. I want to quote a verse to you, and actually it's a verse that many times in church circles is misquoted. And it's actually let's look at the next verse. It's Philippians 4:13. Paul writes this, and by the way, he writes this while he's going through a very difficult season. Paul writes, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And oftentimes we look at that verse and say, you know what, I can jump out into speeding traffic and stop a car through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Or we often think, I can jump off a 10-story building and survive because through Christ who gives me strength. How many people know that's not good common sense, so don't try it? What's the text of that verse, or what's the context of that verse? The context of that verse is simply whatever God's called me to do. God, what is it that you called me to do? Meaning that if I'll step into that, Lord, I can do it. And the reason why I can do it is not because of who I am, but the reason why I can do it is I can do it through Christ. Because through Christ, he gives me this strength. And it's not up to me. My deal is to be obedient. My deal is to step into my fear, to step out of my comfort zone. My deal is to obey. And when I do that, that's when Christ shows up. And now it's through those things I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So let's review in closing. When God calls us out of our comfort zone to do something and we're afraid, number one, I want you to remember fear is normal. Number two, I want you to remember you don't have to feel courageous in order to be courageous. If you're going to wait around for the right feelings, guess what? Not much is going to happen in your life. I hate to be so blunt, but that's the reality. And number three, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. All you're called to do is to be obedient. To be obedient and step out of your comfort zone and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm doing what you called me to do. Now, Lord, empower me with your presence and stand on the promise that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So let me close with a story. And that is just a few months ago, I really believed that as I was spending some time with the Lord, that he wanted us as a church to do some form of outreach where we reach out beyond the walls of this church. And one of the ideas that kept coming to my mind as I was kind of just pacing around is I really believed that God gave me this idea. Why don't you do this? Why don't you show your neighbors how much you appreciate that they live in a neighborhood where the church is at the entry of their development, where they see the church every time they drive in. So my idea was this, and I believe it was God giving me ideas. He said, why don't you have a good neighbor's appreciation celebration? And I want to let you know, I'm fearful of this. I'm fearful. You say, well, Mike, why would you be fearful of that? Well, I'll tell you why I'm fearful. It's because what if no one shows up to help us pull it off? Hint, hint. I'm fearful. I'm being very transparent with you. I'm fearful. You know what else I'm fearful of? What if after they see this sign that's been in the side yard for now 3 weeks, and a couple of us are going to go door to door and hand out invitations, what if no one shows up? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many people know that's fearful? It's not fearful for you guys because it wasn't your idea and you're not the leader. You just think to yourself, well, Mike missed it that time. Well, that's okay. You can think that. But it's fearful when you're the one who's the leader and you're stepping out of your comfort zone, because the comfort zone would be do nothing. Why do we have to do anything? Why do we have to do anything but to step out of your comfort zone and saying, hey, we're going to do something. We're going to show our neighbors that we appreciate them. We're going to show our neighbors that we love them. We're going to show our neighbors that church can do good things in their community. So I want to go through the points again. Fear was normal. I didn't feel courageous. Actually, a day before the sign showed up, you want to hear the truth? The day before the sign showed up, and I ordered it a week before, I almost called him back and said, hold your sign. Hold the sign. I don't want to do this anymore. But it was too late. If I'm going to wait to feel courageous before doing something, we're not going to do much. And number three, you know what? I'm finding out it's not up to me to pull this thing off. It's up to you guys. I'm only kidding. But how many people know it's up to God? We're stepping out. And by the way, please pray your guts out for this event. Please pray that we'll have favor with our neighbors. Please pray that neighbors with kids will come and they'll see and enjoy all the things that we're going to offer. By the way, sidebar, please pray for your involvement in this event. But here's the thing, if God's going to use us, if God's going to use us many times, it's going to be really scary. I can't tell you how many times I've officiated a wedding where I've been scared to death. As I looked out and I realized that probably 95% of those people that were there, they didn't care about Jesus. Or they weren't associated with the church. And I'm thinking, God, I'm scared. But you know what you do? You just step out. And you just step out in faith. And you just pray, Lord, in some way, could you please use this frail, broken person? And I'm here today to believe that God is not only doing these things in my life, but he's doing these things in many of our lives today. God is calling you to something. God is calling you to something that's bigger than you and you're afraid. I want to challenge you today. Will this be the week that you'll step out so that God can use you in a big time way? Amen. So can we do this together this morning? Can we bow our heads in prayer? I really believe God's speaking to people here this morning. He's speaking to people He's speaking to somebody, hey, it's time for you to share your faith with your coworker. You've never done that. Yes, you've lived a good life. You've been a good example in your actions. But this is the week I want you to share why. Because of faith in Jesus. Maybe this is the week you have a difficult conversation, not because you want to drill somebody, but because you love them enough to have a difficult conversation. So, Lord, we come to you this morning on August 19th, and, Lord, we declare that you still speak to us today. So may our ears be open, may our hearts be receptive. May we be able to hear from you what you're saying to us today. And God, even when there's fear, God, we just put fear aside and we put our trust and our hope in you. Even when we don't feel courageous, we step in. We step out of where we're normally comfortable. And this is the week we step in to just discomfort, and it's going to feel very scary. But God, may this be the week. And God, may we just have that confidence that you are with us. And God, you will give us the ability to do what you've called us to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. Amen. Amen.